The scripture that we're going to use today is Colossians 3:12 through 17. Colossians 3:12 through 17. And I'll be using the Amplified version to do it. So it may not match exactly what you have in the pews, but overall it's the same thing. Verse 12 starts, "So as God's own chosen people who are holy, set apart, sanctified for His purpose." How thankful could you possibly be knowing that God's Word talks about you? About how He knew you would surrender your heart to Jesus? How He claims that everyone who turns to Jesus will be saved. Not a one will be lost. How His Word says that each of these people are seen and selected by Him, made holy and sanctified by Him, chosen and set apart to be a part of His plan for this world. Are you thankful that He chose to ransom your soul? Do you know that God says you were chosen to be part of His family? It continues, "People who are well-loved by God Himself, put on a heart of compassion. A heart that looks within and recognizes your own history and circumstances and responds to others as you want others to respond to you. Remember, Scripture talks about the plank in your eye and the speck in the eye. Remember the person in the mirror that has looked back at you on those not so good days? Put on a heart of kindness, a heart that is friendly and caring towards others, a heart that steps out in times of need. Put on a heart of humility, a heart that doesn't see yourself above others, so you could be offended for not being treated as well as you think you should be, but a heart that recognizes that the world didn't treat Jesus well and is not going to treat His followers any better. People still under the influence of the world will mistreat you. Jesus says so in His holy word. Put on a heart of gentleness, a heart that accepts people where they are and looks to slowly guide and encourage them in directions that lead to Jesus. Not necessarily church or buildings, groups or organizations, but leading them to Jesus. We lead them to Jesus. And patience, which has the power to endure whatever injustice and unpleasantness comes with a good temper. This tends to be a struggle for Christians. We want people to give their hearts to Jesus today. We don't want to wait. We want it to happen now. But Jesus says in Scripture that they must first be drawn by God in His timing. We speak, then we wait. Scripture talks about planting seeds and them growing. We also tend to want people to be holy in advance so their sins don't taint our image. But what if they see my sins? What if they see our sins like we see theirs? Doesn't Scripture tell us that we are still being perfected? That short of the work of Jesus, we don't deserve to go to heaven? Even if you just count what happened in your life and heart and mind this week alone. Bearing graciously with one another. Mercy is not getting what you deserve. So the word mercy means not getting what you deserve. So if we were to look at the sins of my life, we would know that Scripture says that I deserve death. I deserve to go to hell. I deserve to spend eternity separated from God. But because of the mercy of Jesus Christ and the work that He did on the cross, I have a different opportunity. Mercy is not getting what we do deserve, but grace is getting something good that I clearly do not deserve. This verse, verse 13, says, bearing graciously with one another. This means you are to deal with each other better than we each deserve, and willingly forgive each other if one has cause for complaint against another. This means if someone has wronged you, when I was writing this, I was thinking about what Jesus would look like as he was sitting there watching from the throne at the right hand of God, watching my choices, watching my decisions, and thinking, okay, here we go. This person is about to hurt you, about to hurt your feelings with what they're going to say. How are you going to deal with it? Are you going to do like I ask and forgive them and view them as a broken soul like you want me to see you and recognize that you're not perfect, that you make mistakes, that you do things that hurt people? How are you going to respond right now, Pastor Bill? I think sometimes about the people that are watching me and what they expect from me. People who don't believe in God and in Jesus have a tendency to know exactly what the Bible says about how a Christian should behave. And they sit very well waiting and watching to see how I'm going to behave. Am I going to demonstrate what Jesus showed us to do that they know I should be doing? Or am I going to do something like everybody else would do? Everybody else would do it. What's wrong with me doing it? I'm a broken person too, right? But what is it doing? It's not showing the light of Christ. And so, as a Christian, we're all under that same microscope. Not just the pastors. Even though the pastors are the ones that make the newspaper when they do it wrong, all of Christians are under that same microscope. And not only are the unbelievers watching, but our Lord and Savior is watching as well. And he's saying, I already did this for you. I forgave you. And now I ask you to do the same thing. Look at this person and see them as you want me to see you. And let this go. Just as the Lord has forgiven you, so should you forgive. Remember the example of Jesus watching over your response. This is a really big deal. It's written all over Scripture. And unforgiveness is promised to keep you out of heaven. It's such a big deal to Christ that it's written in His Word that unforgiveness will cause you to not be forgiven yourself. Unforgiveness in our hearts can keep us from heaven. It's a big deal. If we have this in our lives, and most of us do, in some fashion, somebody has hurt us. I'm not pointing fingers because I have to deal with it myself. There's things in my life that people have done that have hurt me. Just this morning, I'm not going to tell you the whole story, but just this morning, my wife and I purchased something that was used. We purchased it to help us move forward at a cheaper cost. Basically a tool to help us do a job. The promise when we purchased it was that it was going to come with all these pieces that would make it function the way we needed it to function. At the time, I did not have all the money, so I said, well, I can give you most of the money, and in a week to 10 days, I can give you the rest. And the person said, absolutely not. All or nothing. I have other people who are interested in purchasing this. So if you don't have the money, I'll sell it to somebody else. And so I went and borrowed the money so that I had all the money. And I went to the person, I said, I have all the money. Here you go. And it's okay, there's the pieces. Loaded it all up. Grabbed my receipt. Person said, there's two pieces that are missing. But I know where they are and I'll go get them today. That was a week ago. So this tool is no good until we have all the pieces. Now we've paid full price for it. And so in my heart, I have to constantly monitor how I'm looking at this situation. Am I going to let resentment to the fact that I had to go borrow money to pay for this because there wasn't time to wait, but now there's time that I have to wait? Or am I going to reflect Christ and let it go and move on? In our lives, there's things that will come against us. There are people that will do things that will offend us. There are things that are going to weigh in our heart and in our mind, and they're going to constantly draw our attention to what this person did. And it is up to us to follow what we know God's Word says, to forgive. How many times, Peter asked? God gave a number that showed that we're not supposed to keep track of the number. We're just supposed to keep doing it. Beyond all these things, put on and wrap yourself in unselfish love, which is the perfect bond of unity for everything that is bound together in agreement when each one seeks the best for others. This is a lot of words, but this is what's being said. The greatest command, Jesus said, is to love God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and all your strength. So everything within you is to love God first and above everything else. And the second greatest command is like it, in that it still involves love. And we're to love the people around us, our neighbors, those doing life next to us. We're to love them like ourselves. What does that mean? It means that you get up and you eat when your body needs food. When you're bleeding, you go and get attention so that the blood stops coming out. When you need help, you find it. When you're sick, you get help. You take care of yourself. You take care of your needs. If we're to love others like we love ourselves, we're supposed to, whatever's going on in our lives, we're supposed to take care of the neighbor around us like we would take care of ourselves. We're supposed to set it all aside. This is what needs attention right now. And take care of them. Unselfish love creates unity. Unselfish love. Sometimes that's easy. Sometimes it's hard. Sometimes I think about, I got to do this. And this person needs this. Not wants this, they need this. But I got to do this. And if I don't do this, then everything's going to back up and get difficult in my life. And somebody else could help this person. Well, let's go to an example. Last week, I brought Ariana to school. And I was supposed to have a full day of schedule. I wasn't going to be done that day until like 8 o'clock at night. So I got up and I brought Ariana to school. And there was no school delay, no cancellation of school, no anything. But when we went outside, it was slushy and it was snowing. So it had been raining that night, and it made a mess of the roads. And we live out on a country road. And so I thought, well, Ariana, you're going to be late today, but we're going to get you there safe. And so we drove, and I dropped her off, and I had a long drive that day. It was a was going out to Syracuse, and I went and got gas. It was around the corner from the school. After I got gas in the car, I went back home so that I could pick up Lisa. I got within a mile of our house, and there's cars sitting in the middle of the road. And so I pulled over. Our road has car accidents on it all the time, no matter what the weather conditions are. And so I pulled over, put my four-ways on, and walked up to the cars. As I walked up to the cars, I could see down the hill, and there was a truck on its roof. It had rolled over and rolled down the hill, and now it was sitting crossways in the road. And as I looked, I saw the people climbing out of the truck. So it had just happened. As I turned around and went back to my car, there was a string of trucks, pickup trucks and big trucks coming up the road. It's a country road. They were going about 60 miles an hour. And so I started waving my hands as I was going back to my car, and the big city truck was the first one in line, so he slowed down, and I climbed up the side of his truck, and I told him what he was about to find if he continued past all of us. And then as I climbed down, one of the vehicles that was behind him got frustrated that all the traffic was in the way, so he shot around all of them and took off down the road. And then here comes the whole string behind this truck that I was standing on. So then I climbed down off this truck and I started talking to each car and standing in the road so that they couldn't go by me until they knew what they were going to find if they went down this depth. About 45 minutes later, the rescue people got there. When the first person got there, he told me that there was a police officer before him that was supposed to be there. But he was off the road, up the road further. He had had a car accident as well, trying to get to this scene. So in my time of that morning, I lost 45 minutes. But I started all this by saying unselfish love creates unity. What if I had just climbed into my car, turned around, and drove around the great big block to my house? And said, somebody else will get out of their car and stop all that traffic before they start down that hill and cannot stop and slam into those people that are down there. Unselfish love creates unity. So how did that create unity? Well, maybe it didn't. What if we look at our church? We think to ourselves, there's broken people in our church. There's broken people in our community. And so if I'll set aside my own gain so that somebody else will experience the love of a person that's following Christ, what would that do for that person? We have some people sitting in our pews that weren't in our pews 2 years ago because we've reached out to them, because we've interacted in their lives. And I say we because sometimes it wasn't me. I had no part of it. It was one of you or two of you. There's people who are in our church now that weren't here 4 or 5 years ago for the same very reason. Somebody reached out to them and showed love, and it created unity. And now they want to be a part of this fellowship and learn about who the God is that we serve because somebody showed them love that nobody else was. And I want to know what they have. So I'll go where they're going. Seek the best for others. That was how that verse ended. Is bound together in agreement when each one seeks the best for others. So that's how it happens. How do you show unselfish love? When you seek the best for someone else. No matter whether they've said something or done something that hurt you, you set it aside and you seek the best for them. It's unselfish love. Verse 15, let the peace of Christ, the inner calm of one who walks daily with him, be the controlling factor in your heart. I'll read it again. Let the peace of Christ, the inner calm of the one who walks daily with Him, be the controlling factor in your hearts. The peace of Christ doesn't come from sermons. Surprise! From devotionals, from Bible studies, from podcasts, from old-time Pentecostal preachers. The peace of God does not come from information. The peace of Christ comes from getting up every day and deciding, today I'm going to follow God. I'm going to pray for people. I'm going to give to people. I'm going to love on people. I'm going to apologize to people. I'm going to put others ahead of myself. Today, I'm going to follow the example that Jesus set for His disciples, His followers, unselfish love. Today, I'm going to follow Jesus in what I do and say. Let the peace of Christ, the inner calm of one who walks daily with Him, be the controlling factor in your heart. Deciding and settling questions that arise, to this peace indeed you were called as members in one body of believers. Deciding and settling questions that arise. It's funny that this is written in Scripture. I want to ask a question, but I want to ask it the right way. So how many of you guys have had somebody else that you were co-responsible for a situation with? Meaning that you were responsible for it and somebody else was responsible for it. Have you ever been in a situation where somebody else and you shared responsibility for something to be done? Okay. Most people who are parents, there was somebody else that was helping you raise your child. Even if you didn't have a spouse that was in the house helping you raise a child, you had a babysitter that had your child for hours every day. You had a parent of yours who was helping you. You had a friend who was helping you. That's an easy one to go to. There's also those of you who had a spouse. You were making decisions together on what the house was going to look like, what was going to happen in the house, what wasn't going to happen in the house. There's those of you who have careers where you and somebody else make decisions on what happens in that job. Most of us have somebody else that we have had to share responsibility with about something. Deciding and settling questions that arise. So in this situation that you found yourself in, did you ever start in the direction that made the most sense to you, only to find out that now you deciding to do that created conflict over here because this person saw something else that made sense to them? So what do? My way's the best way, right? Follow me or sit down and be quiet. Is that the right answer? Doesn't work well for the other person typically. So what do we got to do? We got to take care of the decisions and the questions as they arise. Sometimes we need to apologize. Sometimes we need to set time aside so we can sit down and brainstorm about what makes sense and what doesn't make sense. Sometimes Lisa and I sit down about something that Lisa saw one way and I saw another way, and I feel like my way is the right way. And ironically, she feels that her way is the right way. But you know what? A lot of times we sit down and we start hashing it out and we find out that the other person saw something that we didn't even think about. And boy, does that sometimes change the situation. Deciding and settling questions as they arise. If we don't do it as they arise, they fester. They create people talking behind other people. They create people that decide that they want to separate things. They create division. We need to discuss the things that are going on. In whatever we're responsible for, because we're responsible for the outcome. Even if it causes division, we're responsible for the outcome. To this peace, indeed, you were called as members in one body. To this peace, the peace that's found in setting down and discussing these questions that arise, the peace that's found in compromising sometimes so that the unity in the body stays, the peace that's found by working together. To this peace, indeed, you were called as members in one body of believers. And be thankful to God always. Let the spoken word of Christ have its home within you, dwelling in your heart and mind, permeating every aspect of your being. What's the spoken word of Christ? It said, let the spoken word of Christ have its home within you, dwelling in your heart and mind, permeating every aspect of your being. The word in John, the Gospel of John, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God Himself. The Word is Jesus Christ. The Word is the written Word of God, which is all about salvation through Jesus Christ. Let the Bible have its home in your heart and mind, permeating every aspect of your being. Let Jesus Christ speak to your heart and lead you and guide you through His written word. Go to it and soak it in. Let it fill your entire being, your thoughts, your actions, your words, everything you do and say. Whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. As you teach spiritual things and admonish and train one another with all wisdom, as you teach spiritual things and admonish and train one another in all wisdom, are you supposed to be offering examples from your life to younger Christians? Have you seen in God's Word where it talks about the older women and the older men? And what are we supposed to do? Are you supposed to be offering examples from your life to younger Christians to encourage them and guide them in their journey? God doesn't waste your experiences. Again, it's interesting that this is wrote in here. Because I just had somebody share the same thing with me this morning. God doesn't waste your experiences, and He despises our desire to hide and pretend that whatever had that shameful part in our life didn't happen. God does not want us hiding the things that He's done in our life because they may have been shameful. He wants His glory to shine through what's happened in our lives. And if we say, well, I can't let anybody know that this ever happened, then how is His glory going to shine through what we've now survived and are changed from? God is able to redeem anybody who's willing to set their heart on Him. No matter what their life has shown. We just finished a Wednesday Bible study. And in that Bible study, there was a woman who is a minister. And she had been traveling all over the world, speaking at women's conventions and ministry events and stuff about God and what God's capable of doing in people's lives and encouraging people. And her father was a pastor of a church. And he had spent his life dedicating to pastoring people and helping people and leading people to Christ. And this woman's son grew up in a Christian home with Christian values. And he made a choice that he thought at the time was the right choice. And in an effort to save some little kids from going through something that he didn't think they should have to go through, he killed someone. Thou shalt not kill. But did God waste it? It wasn't what he wanted to happen, but he did not waste it. This person, this man, is now spending the rest of his life in jail. What can he do from jail? He's locked up. But what did this woman discover? After going through all this grief and continuing to pray and ask God, why? What could possibly come out of this that's good? She began to realize that her son was now in a place where he could reach and preach God's word to a people group that was otherwise not reached. His life situation changed, but he was still on a mission for God. He made a horrible mistake and he took someone's life, but God is still using him. God is able to redeem people from their situations. And if we decide that we don't want anybody to know, if this woman had decided that she didn't want anyone to know what her son had done, and she ran from it and hid from it and pretended that it never happened and took her name off all the publications or whatever that were going out and hid from the world, how many people that are being reached today through this ministry would never have been reached? Whatever you do, no matter what it is, in word or deed, verse 17, third time you've heard it this morning, everyone was made for a purpose. Everyone. No mistakes. God made no mistake in breathing life into you. No matter what the circumstances were around your life, no mistakes were made by God. Everyone was made for a purpose. Not everyone is an eye or a toe or a hand. This is in Scripture. Not everyone is the same. We're all different. We have different purposes, different personalities, different ways of doing things. Some of us are aggressive when we do something. Some of us are very timid when we do something. Some of us are very loving. Some of us are very cold. But God knows what's in each one of us. And he will use each one of us just as he knows the person on the receiving end needs. You are a one-off creation made for a special purpose. God knows what you do, and he prepared you to do it. So do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus and in dependence on him. If he prepared you for such a day as this, if he led you to this, in case you don't know, these are things in Scripture, then let his glory shine bright as the sun and lean on him to guide you moment by moment through it. Do everything as if you're doing it because Jesus himself sent you today to do this task. Because he did. And you have no idea what he's doing with his salvation. We just did a message on Moses and all the things that God did in Moses' life. Through all the unpleasant circumstances that Moses faced from the time he was born. But God had spoke hundreds of years prior to that and said that on this time, this whole people group will be brought out of slavery. God knew hundreds of years before Moses even came about that at that time, this is what was going to be going on in the world, and he was going to be able to use it to bring a people out of slavery. God used the things in Moses' life to prepare him to lead a nation. If he had just plucked somebody out of the Hebrews of that time and said, okay, now I want you to lead all these people out into the wilderness and keep them alive for the next 40 years. There was no training. There would have been a whole lot of trial and error. But God used a bad circumstance of people being killed, babies being killed, to move a mother's heart to let her son be raised in the palace. And as he got that education in the palace, he learned how to lead a nation. Because that's what the kids in the palace were taught. How to lead people. How to organize things. How to maintain control of the situation. How to read and write in multiple languages. How to record things so that down the line people would be able to know what happened prior. God put Moses in a position where he was taught all these things, but he was still a Hebrew. He was still one of the chosen people. Do everything in the name of the Lord and in dependence on Him. Let God shine His glory through your situation. And I went into this whole thing about Moses, and I forgot where I was going with it. But look at whatever your situation is. I was just talking with Laura this morning. And most of you guys know Laura's story. I'm not going to tell Laura's story today. But most of you know Laura's story. I told Laura this morning, I am very grateful that she is a part of this church. Because I've gotten to know her because she's here. I've gotten to know about what she's gone through in life because she's here. And when I put together a sermon and I'm thinking about what people are going through in life, the heartbreak that they're going through, the things that they're struggling with, the mean things that have been done to them in life and where their hearts are at, can they receive? Can they forgive? And I think about Laura and I think about the things that she's gone through in life and where she's at. I'm honored to have her as part of our fellowship, not because she's some great person, but because she loves Jesus and she's here for that reason. Because she loves Jesus, she's willing to let people know about what's going on in her life. She's willing to love on people. She's willing to be real. She's willing to share her heartache and pain. She's willing to be a child of God and to do what He asks of us all. And that makes her an honorable person. Give thanks to God the Father through Him. Give thanks to God the Father through Him, through Jesus. Give thanks to God because He loved you enough to sacrifice His Son for you, because He removed your sins, because He restored your soul. Give thanks to God the Father through the intercession we have through Jesus Christ. Give thanks because you once were on death row, but now Jesus says He's preparing a place for you in heaven. Give thanks not because your life is going perfect, but because your perfect eternity has been secured by the work of Jesus Christ. Give thanks. Give thanks. What does a Christian look like? I didn't say it at the beginning, but that's what this whole message was about. What does a Christian look like? Well, a Christian looks just like you and me. But a mature Christian, one who's truly dedicated to walking fully with Christ, well, these Christians are happy and joyful no matter what's going on, because they know what's been done for their eternity, and their thankfulness radiates throughout everything else, because they know where they're going. And they're willing to share so that others can get there too. Let's pray. Lord God, I thank You for each person here today. I thank You for this message that You put on my heart, and then you confirmed so that I could stand up here and share boldly what you put on my heart. Knowing that whatever words leave my lips, Lord God, have meaning through you. Have meaning through your word. Have meaning in our lives. Lord God, I ask for you to take every word I've shared today and to help each heart today in this place and each heart that may hear this message later, help them to receive it as you intended it to be for them. Lord God, help them to set down any offense that might come from the way that I said something. And help your love, your word, to be received into a broken heart as the pure love you intended your written words to be, with mercy and grace and salvation through you. It's all about you, Lord God. Help it to be that way. Protect us, Lord God, as we leave this place tonight. Today, protect us and guide us all to where we're going safely. Protect us as we go through this week, Lord God, and help us to wake up every morning hungry for you, searching for how we can get closer to you, and prepare us, Lord God, moment by moment for the people we're about to face this week. Help us to do and to say what your Holy Spirit prompts us to. Help us to have confidence enough in you that we will walk even when we don't see, that we will talk even when we don't understand, because we know that in you, Lord God, there is wisdom. We don't need to understand it to share it. Lord God, help us to have confidence. Help us to move forward. And help us to listen to you as you prompt us in what to say and do. Help us, Lord God. Help us, Lord God. In your mighty name, Lord Jesus, I ask this all and thank you. Amen. This time, service is concluded. May God bless you guys this week. Have a great Thanksgiving. And let people know that you love them.